The following is a paid program, and the views expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPTF or Curtis Media Group. Information provided is of a general nature. Listeners seeking specific advice should contact a licensed professional in the appropriate area. Welcome to Heart Health Radio with board-certified cardiologist and internal medicine specialist, Dr. Franklin Weefall.
Heart Health Radio, Heart Health Radio, oh, 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 hearthealthradio.com, Heart Health Radio.
Heart Health Radio is meant for information purposes only. Before taking any action, talk to your doctor.
Well, it's information and entertainment, I think.
Yeah, because we have fun talking about this stuff. And I think the main thing that I try to get across to my listeners and to you, Dave, is that it's not that hard
you
to understand what we're talking about. And, you know, I remember the best thing you ever said to me on this show was, well, I hope you understood that.
That's right. I'm just glad.
And so when that happens, that means I'm not doing my job, because my job is to make things understandable. That's what I try to do in my office when I'm seeing patients. Because the more you understand about why someone is recommending something, the more likely you are to do what is the best thing in the doctor's mind. But also remember, if your doctor doesn't admit that he could be or she could be wrong, you need to get a new doctor, you know. And if your doctor doesn't listen, the worst thing in the world, though, I'm going to tell you, if you want to have a good relationship with your doctor, is say, well, on Google it says.
Yeah, you don't want to.
I even bought a mug that says, your Google search does not equal my MD.
Good for you.
So just be aware that Google searching can be dangerous.
Sure.
Because you might wind up with a Google search that says that COVID vaccines are loaded with microchips from Bill Gates.
And are they?
Yeah, last time I looked.
No?
Yeah, I scanned mine.
Okay.
Before they put it in,
they don't.
With my special microchip detector.
Please.
Yeah.
People are going to get confused.
Yeah.
On today's show, we are going to talk about misinformation, or at least we believe that it would be misinformation. Of course, we could be misinformation, and this fella, Joe Rogan, could be right.
I don't think so.
All right. Dr. Fauci says vaccinations are working. That's good.
Yes.
Because that was why we got them.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. And we're relaxing now some of the mandates for wearing masks. George joins us right now. George, thank you very much for calling. What's going on?
Hey, how you doing? I am having an issue with what would they call systolic dysfunction.
Yeah.
What happened was a few months ago, and it was after COVID started, I started noticing some swelling in my legs.
Okay.
And that concerned me quite a bit. So then I was noticing some other symptoms were coming up. So I went to a cardiologist and got an echocardiogram, a stress test and everything. And then they everything seemed to check out fine except for it was saying I had an impaired left ventricle relaxation with normal left ventricle filling pressure consistent with grade 1 diastolic dysfunction.
Great, yeah, I understand.
And I think this is brought on by chronic hypertension.
Yes.
The last 8 years or so, my blood pressure's been up, and I hadn't been keeping a check on it. I've had blood pressures like in the 140 over 80 to 150 over 90 range, and that's like when I go to a doctor's office or something, or and it's normally probably a little bit higher, but the issue is now my blood pressure, my systolic blood pressure is low.
And how low is low?
Well, it's kind of weird how it ranges. I can sit down and take my blood pressure right away, you know, and it's like maybe 118 over 80 or 82. Then every minute it'll drop down like the 118. Over 82, 110 over 82, and then it'll get down to 106, 105, and it has gone down to like the 95 range. And I can feel it.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I I am pretty sure I'm in heart failure at this state, definitely. But the doctor seems to think, because I haven't, you know, been to get a stress test in the past. So he assumes that it's age-related. But I was only 53 when I got the test done. And I'm thinking that my symptoms are getting worse.
George, how old are you now?
54.
54.
You're young.
Oh, he's a young guy for
young. Heart. Well, let me ask you a few questions. What medicines are you taking?
None.
Really?
And I've never taken anything for blood pressure is the problem.
Ah.
And I think that's what's happened. I've gotten into the state where I'm in heart failure now at a young age. I'm fatigued. You know, I have a swelling in the legs, shortness of breath, and I have blood flow issues. I have numbness in my hands and in my feet. Like my heart rate speeds up, goes, it'll get up to, you know, a high rate, stay there for a while. Like back in November, I did a bike ride. You know, my heart rate got up to like the 160 range. Uh-huh. And then, but it took like 5 or 6 hours for my heart rate to get below 100.
Yeah, I tell you, this sounds important that you are addressing this because I think you're right. You need to have my opinion is you need to have a more thorough investigation. Let's go over the blood pressure again. So it'll be pretty much normal, and then just on its own will start to drop. Is that right?
Right. Basically, you know, when I sit down for like 5 minutes or so, it'd be in the low range as far as the systolic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like it'd be like 106 over 77. But it has been gotten worse. It's dropped down quite a bit. Like if I exercise, that seems to actually make my blood pressure go down instead of up. You know, as I wait. And I wish I had some blood pressures here, but I've got some. I had some readings where my blood pressure. I have one here. One that I took over a 10-minute period, it started mm-hmm. out at 136 over 81, mm-hmm. and then went down to 122 over 182, 116 over 80, 108 over 74, and that was within a 10-minute period.
And you weren't doing anything, just sitting there?
No, just sitting still.
Okay.
Sitting still.
That is something I haven't really seen that much. I've seen blood pressure drop when you stand up. I've seen in people who have, you know, a serious cholesterol blockage in one of their arteries that feeds blood to the heart. I've seen their blood pressure drop when they exercise. Wow. But in someone like you, not taking any medicines at all and sitting, have their blood pressure drop. I've not seen that much. Now, let me just make sure I got this right. When you had your ultrasound of your heart, your echocardiogram, they said it was pumping fine, but it had a diastolic dysfunction. Is that what they told you?
Right.
Okay.
Right. It said the left ventricle is normal in size with mildly increased wall thickness. The left ventricle's systolic function is normal. Left ventricle ejection fraction is visually estimated at 55 to 60%. There is an impaired left ventricle relaxation with normal left ventricle filling pressure consistent with grade 1 diastolic dysfunction.
Yeah. So what this means, in simple terms, it means your heart has gotten stiff. And
right.
So when there's two parts of your heart function, it's the pumping action, that's called systolic, mm-hmm. and then there's the diastolic area or timing, and that's when the blood flows into the heart. So it has to be pliable to accept that blood flow. And so what we've seen in people with high blood pressure over time is that it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger's triceps, right?
Right.
They get big and thick, and then he can't move it, you know, because the muscle's so thick. That's an exaggeration of what goes on in the heart, but it's a similar idea.
Right.
So, but that doesn't usually lead to low blood pressure. Let me ask you a question. Do you hydrate? Do you drink a lot of fluids?
Not a whole lot,
mm-hmm.
But I do.
Mm-hmm. Does that make your swelling worse in your legs and feet?
Not actually. What happened was when I discovered all this, I was at 222 pounds and probably about 38 pounds. Uh-huh. And within a month, I lost down to 195 5 pounds.
Okay, so you did that by just not eating a lot. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah. And now I'm down to about 178.
Ooh. That was pretty quick. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's next September.
So okay.
The thing is, I have all the symptoms I'm having heart failure. Cause,
yeah.
You know, I have nausea. I have the crackles, the railing, and breathing sometimes. And it's kind of weird when I breathe in, you know, it feels like I'm breathing in cold air and like my left lung.
Sure.
So it makes me think that this thing has progressed a lot more than what we think.
Yeah. And do you have a follow-up appointment with the cardiologist?
I've been working with a cardiologist quite a bit.
And they haven't done a stress test?
Yeah, we did a stress test.
Okay.
But we did everything.
Okay. And what did the stress test show?
Carotid. Let's see. You know, the weird thing about my stress test when I was doing it, my blood pressure got up like a 166 over or something. And then immediately when it stopped, my blood pressure like plummeted.
Wow.
The guy that was looking at my blood pressure says, man, you must be dizzy because your blood pressure just dropped, just bottomed out. So that's really strange. I can't really.
How did you feel doing that stress test? Did you get tight in the chest, short of breath? Did you really feel fatigued?
My teeth hurt. That's the other thing that's weird. My teeth seem to be more sensitive. And yeah, my left side was feeling a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. Did they do this with the nuclear thing, with the blood flow tracer, where
yes,
you sat in front of the camera? And they said that was normal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole time that we're doing all this, my heart rate was like at 93 beats per minute, when they were doing the echo, when they were doing the imaging.
Right.
Now, there's another thing that happens to me that I think is heart-related. If I get stressed or something like that, my back hurts immensely. And I think, I've read that, instead of hurting in your chest, you may hurt in the back.
Yep.
Because the way your nerve system works. And the pain in my back is excruciating. It's almost unbearable. It seems to, I first thought that it could possibly be an aneurysm, an aorta.
Yeah. Well, it could be, this is a lot of things that could be going on.
Right.
And I can tell you need further investigation. Has anybody in your family, mother, father, sister, brother, had a heart attack or stents or anything?
Not a heart attack. My dad at 54 had bypass surgery.
Okay.
And had congestive heart failure.
Right.
And aneurysm. So that's something that runs in our family.
Yeah. There's something called a false negative stress test.
Right.
And that is when you have balance blockages that it's kind of hard to explain. But on a stress test, if you have one blockage, you'll see an area of the heart not getting blood flow compared to sitting. When you stress, it's not getting enough blood flow. But if you've got a left main blockage or blockages in all three arteries, the blood flow is uniformly reduced when you exercise, and there's no focal area. So, I can't give diagnoses over the radio, and I don't think I should.
Right.
But this is, if I had a case like yours, this is a situation where I'd be really concerned that you've got something lurking that hasn't been discovered yet. And, I think you need to go back to your cardiologist and say, look, I don't, the stress test can be false negative.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. And if your brother had something major done to his heart because of blockages at age 54, that puts you at very high risk for having a false negative stress test. Yeah. So my advice to you is to get back to your cardiologist and ask him one question. Could this be balanced ischemia that leads to a false negative stress test? And your symptoms were compelling. Your blood pressure scares me like it scares you because there's no reason for it to drop.
You don't go from having a high blood pressure to all of a sudden your blood pressure. That's the thing. When I go to my primary care physician, it's like, your blood pressure's fine. And I think that's one of the things that the cardiologist is looking at. My weight was down.
Yeah.
My blood pressure's okay. and everything's pumping right, and all the chambers are the right size and so forth.
This is a not so subtle thing to me, but it's not your normal presentation.
Right.
And so that doesn't mean that you don't have something serious going on.
What does George need to ask for the next test?
I am not going to say, but what I'm going to say is ask him or her, I don't know who the cardiologist is, and I don't want to use names on the radio. Do you have balanced ischemia leading to a false negative stress test?
Okay.
That's what. Do you need me to write that down for you?
Balanced that's ischemia. What
it is. Balanced ischemia. So you have blockages in more than one place.
We're all looking it up right now on Google.
Yeah. Google it.
All right.
That's one you can Google.
Good luck, George.
So, the cardiologist said there's nothing else they can do for me.
Yeah, there is. Let me get on the phone with you after. I'll get your phone number because I want to talk to you some more personally, one-to-one, that we can suggest. Okay?
All right. We got George on hold. Thank you, George. Big recall of what I call pacemakers, but they've got technical terms. Thank God they do.
Well, they're pacemakers and shock boxes.
Okay, and shock boxes.
Shock boxes.
Okay, great. Pacemakers and shock boxes.
That's a good term for it.
Recalling them.
Yeah.
And apparently the vaccination protocol that we're all under is working.
Yeah.
Because the numbers are down. That's coming up. And our shame segment, Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network. Listen to Heart Health Radio on Apple Podcasts or at hearthealthradio.com. The telephone number between noon and 2 on Saturdays for this radio program is 919-860-9783. We're shaming a famous podcaster.
How did he ever get famous?
I don't know.
How did all of a sudden Joe Rogan become the man of podcasting?
I have no idea.
You know how much they paid for his podcast?
A lot of money.
$30 million.
Yeah.
What? Where are you? Spotify? Are you listening?
Right.
Yeah.
Heart Health Radio, guys.
Yeah.
We need to get some of that.
Spotify.
Some of that money. Listen, this is what Joe Rogan said on his podcast.
I think you should get vaccinated if you feel like my parents are vaccinated. I've encouraged a lot of people to get, and people say, do you think it's safe to get vaccinated? I've said, yeah, I think for the most part, it's safe to get vaccinated. I do. But if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no.
Yeah.
Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself. You should, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well and like, I don't think you need to worry about this.
Is he right?
No. And the thing about it is he's a bonehead.
Okay. Well, he's not a doctor.
Well, you know what I would do if I saw him on the street and he was telling me this? I said, oh, so you were sitting in the back of the room at Johns Hopkins and asleep when they gave the lecture on not being stupid and saying things you know nothing about. Okay, let's look at the proof that young people should be vaccinated. Well, here it is. People can get very sick when you're less than 21. And you might not die. I mean, the death rate is very low, but it's not just about death and dying. It's about getting a disease. And if you get this disease and you visit grandma, you're going to kill grandma. And if you look at Israel, the success story of the world, not as much as, say, Taiwan, which had 7 deaths total.
Okay.
We've talked about that a million times. Anybody who is a human being, and I'm going to say once it's proven safe, because it's not proven safe yet, that I think children should get vaccinated. Because you can be an asymptomatic carrier, you can get the disease and just have the sniffles.
Right.
And carry it to your grandma or your grandpa. I don't want to be sexist here. Grandma, grandpa.
Yeah,
How about great-grandma, great-grandpa?
Great-grandma.
And so if you look at Israel, they vaccinated everybody.
Yeah.
And they're almost done vaccinating everybody. And they beat it. The other key thing is England.
Mm-hmm.
They gave everybody the first dose. I'm talking about teenagers, young adults, everybody.
Yeah.
Look at the graphs. Have you seen them?
No.
they had, England did it wrong in the beginning, okay? They were even talking about just letting it go through and have herd immunity.
Yes.
And of course, that was stupid. They had it really bad. But remember the British variant? Okay, that was supposed to be really bad. Well, it came out of Britain.
Yeah.
And they're down to almost, you know, minuscule numbers of cases. So the vaccine works. It's not dangerous. If you got the J&J, you had a 1 in a million chance of a blood clot. And Joe, shut your pie hole. I mean, you're not a doctor. You're not. He's about as far away from an MD as the cockroach I smushed this morning.
The thing is, I've heard it expressed this way. Young people become the reservoir from which everybody else gets sick.
Yeah, and that's the whole point. That's the whole point of grandma and grandpa.
Now, we need this thing to totally die.
The other thing he said that was so stupid is that if you eat healthy and you exercise, then you're not going to get it. As they say, apparently not. The disease hit the healthy. It hit the weak. It hit the strong. And you know, your immune system is better if you're healthy.
Yeah.
But suppose you're one of these crazy people that overexercises. Then your immune system is weak because of constant inflammation. So if you've heard Joe Rogan on this podcast, do the opposite.
All right.
If you're healthy.
Diana in Willow Springs, I'm not sure whether we're going to get to the conclusion of whatever it is you want to discuss, but let's put you on right now. Hi, Diana.
Hello.
Hey, what's up?
I had a couple of questions, and I'll try to make it quick.
It's okay.
I enjoyed the show, by the way.
Thank you.
I am 80 years old. And
you're young.
I'm an annual adult, you know, old person's physical in June. And after that, I ask about having a colonoscopy. I'm trying to keep up with all of that stuff.
Yeah.
They had no record. We changed practices, and that was it. My physician retired. She suggested, or maybe I did, that I get one of the kits that you do the stool sample and you send it off.
Cologuard.
Right.
Yeah.
Came back fine.
Yeah.
But in January, I had a call or a letter from my colonoscopy person saying I really needed to come in because it had been 5 years. Mm. I asked my PA doctor, and she said, well, your other thing came back fine. No, don't.
Well, let me ask you a question. What did you have 5 years ago? Anything on the colonoscopy? A polyp?
Can you read them real quick? It just said, findings multiple medium mass divertula were found in sigmoid colon. Exam otherwise without abnormally on direct and flexion verb, no polyp or mass.
All right. Hold on, Diana. Yeah, because
I didn't hear you. The question I have, did you have a polyp, like a little dinghy? And he undinged you. Did he take anything out of your car?
We're going to pick this up with Diana
in just a little bit. This is really important.
Also, Rose Hoban of North Carolina HealthNews.org. She might be a few minutes late on today's show, but that's all right. Diana's in the waiting room. We need to take care
really
of her.
Really important, Diana.
She's 80 years old, and she wants to know whether she's going to have a repeat
colonoscopy. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a decent question. I would encourage you to continue listening to the radio program. This is Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network.
Now back to Heart Health. Have a question for Dr. Wiefald? Call 919-860-9783.
Rose Hoban coming up from North Carolina Health News, but let's pick up with Diana again.
Hi, Diana.
Hi, Diana. Welcome to the show again. You want to know whether it is time for another colonoscopy.
Yeah. All right. So the big question I had was, did they find a polyp on the last one? Did they have to take anything out?
It said no polyp or mass.
All right. I'm going to come down hard on this one.
Yeah?
Diana, you don't need one. Okay. First of all, after the age of 50, they recommend the American Gastroenterological Society of the American College of Physicians, they recommend one 10 years later. If you have no polyps.
Okay.
They don't recommend one if you're over the age of 75 and you've had nothing wrong. So this five-year thing, I'm going to say, is not according to guidelines. And you're 80, you're healthy, you had a negative Cologuard. They did one 5 years ago, and they didn't find anything. My advice to you would be to talk to your primary care physician, which I think you've already done. And I, if it were me, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't do it. Now, I had a polyp the last time, so I'm going to get one 5 years from the last time I had
it. Right, right.
And I'm 62, so, you know, and I'm going to say this. I don't think you're an old lady. You sound great. 80 years old is young today. 80 is the new 50.
Uh-huh.
So please don't tell. I don't think that I'm calling you old in a pejorative sense.
Yeah.
But if it were me and I had a clean one 5 years ago and I'm had a negative Cologuard, which is a DNA screening test. They take the stool and they check the DNA for bad things that could be associated with cancer. The risk of a colonoscopy is, I mean, first of all, you got to drink that seawater stuff, which is horrible.
Yeah.
And then they could put this thing up you and perforate your colon, you know, because they're sticking a tube up there, even though it's flexible.
Sure.
I mean, you could perforate the colon, and that's a disaster. So this is called risk-benefit analysis. And I think the benefit of you having a colonoscopy in your stage in life is very low. And the risks are moderate. So if it were me, and even if you wanted to get one, you're not supposed to have one for 10 years after a negative colonoscopy. Does that make sense?
Really?
Yeah. 10 years is the thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do have some diverticulosis, but I mean, yeah,
that doesn't put you at risk for cancer. Diverticulosis is not a risk for cancer. So
I still need to do it then.
Yeah.
Diana, thank you.
And good luck. Talk to your primary care physician
again. I love the program.
Well, I love you. I don't even know you, and I love you.
I want to be your patient.
All right. Well, let's gab about that later. Go ahead and leave your phone number.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, Diana. All right. Rose Hoban has been patiently waiting. Rose, thank you. We had to talk to.
How are you?
Had to finish with Diana. Rose, the mask mandate is gone for outside.
Except in large crowds.
Except in large crowds. Are we ever going to get rid of the mask mandate for people close in?
The governor says that the mask mandate can really go away if we get 2/3 of the population of the state vaccinated. But right now, our vaccination rate is just crawling up, We're just bumping up against 50%. We only gave out about 190,000 vaccines last week.
Right.
Really slowing down.
Well, I don't think we're ever going to get 2/3.
Not in North Carolina, because let me tell you, Rose, everybody who comes in, I've got to convince to get it now. I mean, most of my patients are vaccinated, but I'm telling you, it's pulling teeth to get somebody vaccinated now.
It is. Although, once we get the data and then children, right, who are about 20% of the population are allowed to be vaccinated, I can see like half of kids being vaccinated relatively quickly, right? We had friends who came over last weekend and they were vaccinated, and we all thought it's good. And then they called us sheepishly on Tuesday saying, our 13-year-old daughter was exposed to someone with COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then they had to take her and go get tested and stuff. I know that they're looking forward to getting their daughter vaccinated. So, you know, you could see us getting to like 60% once we get kids into the mix.
Right.
But crawling, I had one local health director describe the next 10 to 20% getting them vaccinated. She called it hand-to-hand combat.
Yes.
Well, the thing with me is that most of the patients, after I give my spiel, will go off and get vaccinated, or at least they tell me they are. But, I mean, let me tell you what we're up against. I mean, I think that what Biden said is that he's not going to get a vaccine that Trump developed. I mean, that was all political. That actually I hear. And then the other thing is that it was rushed through when they cut corners. And so I try to explain that this is a different mechanism of vaccine development that was not rushed through, that the principles of a messenger RNA producing the spike protein, that's been around for a while. And that's why, yeah, the concept's been around for 10 years. And the company Moderna, they were there already, you know, going to develop this thing. So it's not been rushed.
They were waiting for their moment, Moderna was. They were just waiting for their moment.
Yeah.
Right. Rose, thank you very much. I want everybody to go to NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org. There's an interesting story that might just be a big story in the future about something called a zebra mussel. Has nothing to do with the striped animal.
Well, they look kind of like a zebra.
It's an invasive species may one day be in North Carolina waters, and they've got the story right there on NorthCarolinaHealthNews.org. Thank you, Rose.
Thanks, gentlemen.
We'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care.
We
got Larry and Raleigh. Before we pick up with Larry, let me just tell you that there's been a big recall of what I call pacemakers. They are the implantable devices that are you can use to restart your heart.
Yeah. Well, pacemakers just keep your heart from going too slow.
Okay.
When you've had a weak heart, or if you've had a lethal arrhythmia, that means the bottom part of the heart quivered and you died. The defibrillator is a shock box. That's what we used to call it.
Sure.
A shock box.
Is it like the big thing?
Well, yeah, but it's inside.
Okay.
Okay, so they used to be the size of hockey pucks, even bigger. And they're very complicated but beautiful machines. And they're machines. They have computers, they analyze, they decide, they provide a big jolt of electricity, and it restarts the heart.
Right.
So that's the difference between a defibrillator and a pacemaker. Now, they've recalled a bunch. Medtronic's had a lot of problems. They are the number one producer in terms of volume of pacemakers and defibrillators. And now they have what's called a class one recall. Now, what does that mean? That means you better be careful. So if you have one of these new ones, Evera, Viva, Brava, Clarea, Amplia, I don't even know, they made these many different types. Vizia. They can suddenly run out of juice. I mean, just they run out of juice. And so I'm not going to go into the details of the mechanism of that. But
do they need to be taken out?
No. What they recommend is that you have them checked with the home monitor.
Yeah.
Everyone get a home monitor. And it can tell you how much juice is left in it. And if all of a sudden it starts to lose juice, replace it.
Okay. Larry and Raleigh, welcome to Heart Health Radio. Glad to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Hey.
Welcome.
What's up? Enjoy your program. Listen to it for a year or two.
Oh, thank you.
My wife was born in 1951.
She's young.
Born with spina bifida.
Oh, wow.
With spina bifida.
Yeah.
Yes.
They sewed it up over at Duke, and she's doing fine, or was doing fine. She was a hairdresser for like 40 years.
I need a haircut.
And, well, she can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
She disappointed a few of her customers.
Sure.
In 16, she fell and broke her hip. Her hip.
Yes.
Had a partial hip replacement. Fell in September of 16, fractured her knee, then fell in October and broke four toes in her right foot. These are all on her right side. We've been to doctors, and now she keeps falling because her legs are giving out.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And we don't know who to go to. We've been to Wake. We've been to Duke. We've been to Carolina.
Well, that's a tough question. Duke Neurosurgery, I imagine you saw a neurosurgeon, right?
Saw a back doctor.
Okay. Well, there's two types of back doctors.
Spine doctor.
Yeah. There's two types of spine doctor. There's an orthopedist.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a neurosurgeon. I am not the world's expert on spina bifida. When you talk to a doctor and he says that he knows everything, then you need to go and
fire them.
Ask another one.
Yeah, get another one.
You know, Duke's really great, not just because I trained there. I think that the best spina bifida doctors are at places like Duke. And I don't know where to tell you to go.
Larry, do you know what kind of back doctor your wife sees?
He was a spine doctor.
Was he an orthopedist?
Was he an orthopedist, Vicky? He just gave her some shots.
You know what I think, Larry?
Let me tell you the places. Okay, Duke is right up there.
Yeah.
Again, what I'm going to tell you to do is give your phone number, because I'm going to call you and you and I are going to talk about the name of the doctor that you saw.
Yeah.
Because it might not have been the El Honcho, you know what I mean? And that's the thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, there are a bunch of really good programs. And Johns Hopkins is one, Mayo Clinic is one. And, you know, if Duke is really saying there's nothing they can do for you, then what I would say is get a second opinion. But it may have been that you didn't see the honcho.
Right.
By that, I mean the guy who knows the most.
All right. I've put Larry on hold. We'll get Larry's. And you're going to be busy this afternoon.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm going to have fun.
After the show is done, he's going to call Larry and talk.
Yeah.
And the kind of conversation you're going to have, doesn't it have to do with advocating for yourself with the doctor?
No, I'm not going to ask him to be my patient. Just the opposite.
No. I mean, I don't mean your patient. I mean, you want them to say, listen, if you can't help me,
well, yeah.
Who can?
And also, there are things that, you know, I don't want to use names of people who may, you know, I don't want to get confused. Confusion shouldn't be spread. That's like Joe Rogan saying this stuff he has nothing, he knows nothing about.
Right.
And so when patients bring up issues that I think are more complicated than, you know, discussions on the radio for public information.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Like if somebody called me and said there is this crazy North Carolina teacher who was going to try to run people over in the parking lot.
Yeah, that would be me.
I'd do that off the air.
Yeah,
Dave,
okay.
I mean, wouldn't you want me to spare your name on the radio?
But here's the thing. You are a cardiologist, an internal medicine specialist.
Internal medicine specialist.
And cardiologist.
I know a lot.
And if there was a cardiology thing that you needed to kick upstairs to a different cardiologist, you'd be very comfortable with it.
Well, I kick things up all the time.
Good.
So, for example, defibrillators we just talked about.
Right.
I kick it up to Pavlin or Trebco.
Right.
If somebody needs a stent, I kick it up to Madia Saeed or Josh Maycumber.
Right.
And, you know, if somebody needs open heart surgery.
Yeah.
Like you.
Yeah, you get Dr. Bolton.
Yeah.
Yes, Dr. Bolton, because, you know, he was a success with mine.
Yeah.
He did, and I did, and I'm here.
Well.
So this is a good thing. People ask me, do you feel better? See, yeah, I feel better.
You better.
I feel better than I did, you know, 8, 9, 10 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I feel much better than
Your color is better.
My color is better.
How much weight have you lost?
Total?
What, since the surgery?
Oh, I don't think I've lost weight at all.
Why not? You should be exercising.
I haven't stepped on the scale. All right, things coming up. We've got a great shout out. Two shout outs, in fact. One doctor doesn't know about. We'll talk about masks outdoors.
Oh, no.
And if we can find time, you know, we got to squeeze this in. The bowel movement frequency discussion on today's Heart Health Radio on the Heart Health Radio Network.
What? You know you make me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my hands up.
Some people just make me wanna shout, including one of your patients.
Yeah, I saw, and he gave me permission to speak about his situation. Ashley had been a little overweight, you know, when he was in high school, but, you know, as we get older and everything, he got up tipping the scales, close to 400 pounds. And we've been working together on what I like to call a medical bariatric program. So bariatric surgery works wonderfully. I think it's a key surgical intervention for this day and age because obesity is really, really tough. But if you don't want to go through surgery, it takes a while because you've got to change your habits. Mm-hmm. But there's also medicines that can help. And if you're screened appropriately and don't have serious heart disease and you get your blood pressure under control,
yeah,
there are three medicines that are on the board, on board to now, and they work.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much weight he's lost? 150 pounds.
That's amazing.
In 1 year. And he's stuck with his no-no diet. He's stuck with his medications. He's stuck with his exercise.
Yeah.
And he's not hypertensive anymore.
That's great.
And I think we're going to get him off of CPAP. And the other thing is he's happy now that he's shown to himself
right. That
he can do it with assistance from his physician.
We got to get the insurance companies to pay for skin surgery. You know what I'm talking about?
I tell you, that's the worst thing.
That if someone loses 100 pounds, the skin is an issue.
Yeah. Doesn't always go away. Well, hardly ever goes away.
Hardly ever goes away. Want to shout out Michael Collins.
Yeah.
Who ought to be.